So it's a very same story, different modes of telling. That's why I think there's always people who are going to love and cherish the classic series, and that will be their number one, no matter what. That will be their series, their way to experience Sailor Moon. And there will be people who see Crystal and they decide that that's their jam. That's the way they want to experience Sailor Moon, and that is their show. And then there will be people who love both. And that's the great thing, that Sailor Moon is so lucky to have two different ways to tell that story.
Indeed. What do you think about, like, I mean, the characters are going to be different. I mean, with Crystal, we're going to see, most definitely, we're going to see a great difference with Rey, in that Rey is going to be not the kind of fiery modern woman that we saw her in the original classic series. She's going to be that very serious, very disciplined shrine maiden that we see in the manga. I mean, what do you think about that kind of shift? As far as not only fan response, but what do you think is the difference in the story?
I think it's just a, you'd have to, it helps me always to step back and think about these fictional girls with this mission. Think back what they would be like in real life without the magic powers. And, Rey being a shrine maiden, she's very devoted to that. She's very serious. She's very determined. And I think everybody knows somebody in their life like that, and she's very relatable. All of the girls are extremely relatable. And I think that's part of Sailor Moon's appeal is everyone's got a character, and everyone, not just girls, guys too, everyone's got a character in Sailor Moon that they can relate with in some way. Like, they are your avatar in the story. You don't have to be an Usagi type. You can be an Ami type, you can be a Rei type, you can be a Minako type, you can be a Makoto type, or you can be like one of the Outer Guardians, or you can be more of a, caretaker and an advisor. Like maybe in your group of friends, you're the Artemis or the Luna. Maybe you're like Queen Serenity, just stopping in to give advice. So everyone's got a character that they can identify with, and when you break it down that way, you can really compare and contrast Sailor Moon Classic and Crystal. So I think Rey, to answer your question about Rey, it's the same girl, different mode of storytelling. Just maybe that wasn't shown as much in Sailor Moon Classic. Maybe some of the other things were just dialed up a bit more. But at her soul, that character is the character.
And being that on the subject of character changes, I mean, there is for most of the gents out there, we often identify, potentially with one of the Senshi, but we also one of the things that's most common with us is Mamoru Tuxedo Mask. And in before, I mean, I'm not sure what they have in mind for Crystal, but being that if the manga is any guide, he actually develops a power attack, whereas in the original classic, he, throws his roses and he has his extendable cane as his, those are what he uses in battle. What do you think the guys are going to take away from what is arguably one of their favorite characters?
Well, I think, as far as attacks and that, I mean, not gonna spoiler, that stuff remains to be seen. But what's really neat about Mamoru and Sailor Moon Crystal is you get to see more of his support role. He's more hands-on in this. He is in more scenes. You get more of his backstory, which is really great. But he's a very important catalyst in the series. And there's a, not to spoiler people, but a lot of stuff in Sailor Moon couldn't happen without Mamoru. So it's neat to see him come out and shine, and it's neat to see him develop. But previously, if we're Mamoru, the live action, so everyone has a little bit of a different take as they go through the different medium. But I'm really liking Mamoru's development in Crystal. I really like him as a character. And I look forward to seeing more. I mean, man, this week's episode is going to be, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Indeed so. And moving back for a second away from the characters into the overall series, for those listening out there, this one will be completely uncut. This is not the original dub we were used to when we were growing up. Charlene, I'd like to ask you, what do you think about, you know, a lot of the changes that were made for the English dub, such as to begin with, you know, several scenes were cut from the original dub because it was seen as, you know, just either Deke or Cloverway were not interested in showing these originally. Viz, I believe, has taken a great step in showing it as originally it was presented in Japan in the 90s. What are your thoughts on, like, you know, this the cutting and the censorship that was originally part of the series and Viz's move to, you know, show this uncut and show it its in its original entirety?
Well, I mean, when Sailor Moon originally aired in North America, it was a different time for TV. It was vastly different, different standards and practices to air things, especially things seen as children's programming. It wasn't just edited for time. It was edited very heavily for content. A lot of things were changed. Some episodes were completely left out, the first of which you'll notice is episode 2, which is great because it gives Umino a chance to shine. It's a really neat episode. But, you know, they cut it, they trimmed it, they changed things, they changed genders, they changed situations, they changed all the names. That may have worked back then, but we're in a different time, and people don't want the censorship. People want to see the whole story. When you go back and you see the standards in North America then versus now, you can really appreciate how progressive Sailor Moon was. I mean, how progressive of a story it was in that. And I'm seeing a lot of it come out in the classic series as I'm hearing some of the mixes of some of the, you know, the later episodes of season one. Zoisite and Kunzite really stand out because not only are they very, very, very bad guys, they're not good guys, but they do care for each other quite a bit. They are a couple. So, and they mourn when one gets defeated and then the next one gets defeated. I mean, they mourn and they care for each other. And it just, it adds an element of realness. And I am so proud that we live in a time where putting this out uncut is possible. Because a lot of those old anime series, they don't get a second chance at life for whatever reason. But Sailor Moon got that chance. So we take it very seriously in preserving it as close to the Japanese as possible while putting it in English. And it's something the actors really enjoy too. So this is part of that whole falling in love with Sailor Moon again, is to see that story, not just subtitled, because, you know, it was originally put out on uncut subtitled sets around 2003. To be able to hear it in your own language and experience it that way is really powerful. And for someone, I work a lot on Sailor Moon all day. A good portion of my day is working on Sailor Moon. But the fact that I can go home and watch those episodes and they still kick me right in the feels is a big testament to all the team working on it.
Indeed so. And, I mean, another element of it is the, as you state, you know, the progressive nature of the show. You know, the most famous one of these things has become, well, several of these English dub lines have become major inside jokes amongst the fan base, such as Makoto's talent and the fact that Michiru and Haruka are cousins. In the new series, we will be, you know, we'll be stating it, you know, as it is. I mean, what do you think about that? About our society's comfort with these now what had been considered mature subjects, but now are considered, you know, general societal subjects.
Well, they will be absolutely faithful to the original Japanese version, that original intention. And I'll tell you what, out at conventions, you get the biggest cheers for saying Haruka and Michiru will not be cousins. They never were cousins. They are not cousins. They are the destined couple. That is what they are. And Makoto, while she is very talented, that's not what she's talking about in that scene.
Nope. And speaking on Makoto, I was lucky enough to actually hear the new Jupiter there. And I have to say, it's very interesting to hear. I'm not sure. Actually, I would like you, maybe you would like to tell us who voices the lovely Jupiter.
Yes, her name is Amanda Miller, Amanda Celine Miller, and she has been a voice actress for professionally for about 4 years. I'm doing a lot of parts working in LA. She also does a lot of on-camera work, stage work, everything, and she's just been great through this process. So, starting with Anime Expo and onward. I was just down at Studiopolis last Friday recording some extras with her. Just seeing that growth and seeing, because she grew up with Sailor Moon. She grew up in Germany and she watched it in France and she watched it here. Growing up with Sailor Moon and always wanting to be Jupiter, to have that dream come true for her through a lot of hard work and luck, because everyone had to audition, everyone was numbered, everyone was sent in.